Good morning. Are you enjoying the book of Acts? Good. I'm giving you the third chapter. It's so good that the pastoral team has come up with this study on books of Acts. It's really book of Acts. It's really interesting to see the church in action. And we want to have knowledge, and then we want to have the experience of being the church in action. Let's ask the Lord to bless this time together. Father, we thank you so much for this great privilege of having your word speak to us and having the word dwell in our hearts. God, what a privilege that the Holy God allows his words to be stored in our hearts and to bring us the blessings for this land. So we praise you, dear Lord, for this morning. I pray that, God, our eyes will be open this morning and our faith will arise. For Acts 3 talks about faith in Jesus' name. So, Lord, we call upon the name of Jesus to reveal great things, great glories of heaven to us. We give you thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I won't be reading the book of chapter of Acts 3, so that would be your homework already. And this morning, I will give you bits and pieces of Acts 3 that will be enough for you to form a good impression of the chapter. Is that all right? Okay, good. If only I could join them in their play, that would be really nice. Did you hear a child's voice there? I've always wanted to play chasing. I've always wanted to climb trees with them. But this boy says, I can't. This boy wished he could do what other seven-year-olds would do, to leave their bags behind after they come back from school and to go to the field, to go to the basketball court or wherever it is to skip, to swing, to play ball. But this boy in Acts 3 couldn't do any of those things because the Bible tells us he was lame from birth in Acts 3, chapter 3, verse 2. This man was not given a name, and so we can't call him by a name, but this man was born with legs that could not walk. So he needed to be carried everywhere. And unlike his friends who could go anywhere they like and whenever they want to, this boy could not do any of those things. So in his heart, he longed for mobility. You know, when you can't move around, you really long that you could move. And he longed for mobility. He longed for the many places his friends were traveling to in Jerusalem and outside Jerusalem. But he couldn't go to any of this, not even to the temple itself. Because in the temple, there will be prayers and the oracles of the religious leaders. He couldn't even enter into the temple itself, because a lame man, when they go into the temple, will be frowned upon by the religious circle. So what this lame man could only do was he watched the world pass him by. At the temple gate called Beautiful, this lame man was begging for money. So all these are in Acts 3, all right? So if you go back and read, you will get the story. But everyone at the gate of the temple of Jerusalem were passing him by too. Of course, they were all very focused to go into the temple to worship the Lord. And they can't pay attention to a lame man because they are all focused to go into the temple of God. But why would they pay attention to a lame man? The lame man knows about himself. He knows that he's not dressed like them. He knows that he doesn't have a vocabulary that can engage with them. He doesn't have the religious kind of talk that he can engage with them in dialogue. He doesn't smell good. And maybe, he thought, maybe he might even be misunderstood that he's faking it. Like, he can walk, but he doesn't want to walk. Only his friends, the friends of this lame man who carried him every day to the temple knew that he was not faking it. Because this lame man's legs were limp. He can't even stand on his own two feet. He was absolutely dependent on the friends, especially because he didn't have the support of his family. In the Jewish custom, the family would be the one taking care of the sick and the poor. And obviously, if he has got to beg at the temple, his family would not be supporting him so well. But this man understands. He understands also when his friends were carrying him, they were huffing and puffing and maybe even swearing under their breath whilst carrying him. Because every day he was getting heavier and he was more burdensome to carry. So what they did was they would carry him to the temple every morning. They would plonk him in front of the temple gate called Beautiful, the Bible tells us. And it will be at the mercy of the worshippers who go into the temple to give him food, to give him whatever that they can spare. And then the friends would carry him back to his home every evening. You can see that I'm a bit dramatic here. All these might not be in the Bible, but I'm giving you the impression of what a lame man's life would be. It is not a life anyone should have, but it is the lame man's life. It is a long tunnel where there is no light for a long, long time now. But the good news is his life was going to be changed forever. And David Pawson says it so well. He asked for arms, but he was given legs. Peter and John were filled with the Holy Spirit in the upper room. You remember the day of Pentecost. Pastor Aaron was sharing with us on the day of Pentecost last week. Peter and John were filled with the Holy Spirit in the upper room, and they were on fire. In fact, they were actually going into the temple to pray. They were really full of fire. But they were stopped by this lame man at this gate called Beautiful. And for many years, of course, Peter and John would have gone to the temple to pray and gone to the temple for many other practices, religious practices. But there was no encounter, no divine encounter. Peter and John missed this lame man. Peter and John missed meeting the needs of this lame man. But that day, full of the Holy Spirit, they gave the man their attentive presence. Both Peter and John said the same thing. They were looking at this lame man, and Peter said, "Look at us." What a change of posture brought about by the baptism of the Holy Spirit. When you are baptized with the Holy Spirit, when you are so immersed by the Holy Spirit, you know, the word baptized is very interesting. The word baptized is like you're being pickled. So when something is being baptized or someone is being baptized, it's like this person is being pickled. Can you imagine you are so pickled by the Holy Spirit's presence? So immersed in the Holy Spirit. And that day, Peter and John had a change of heart, had a change of posture. Compassion arose in them. They never saw this lame man, or at least they never met the needs of this lame man. But that day, compassion arose in them. And they esteem other people better than themselves. They esteem this lame man's needs better than themselves. The time to go to prayer. They had time for other people. And it was a very distinct love for people. They could not help themselves from boldly proclaiming Christ as Lord. Unlike the religious leaders, Peter and John did not question whether or not was the man lame because of himself or was the man lame because of his parents. The religious leaders always ask this question. This guy is blind. This guy is maimed. Is it because of himself? Is it because of his sin? Or is it because of his parents' sin? Well, anyway, good thing that Peter and John didn't ask the lame man anyway, because the lame man would have no answer to give them anyway. Peter and John were empty in their pockets. How do I know? Because they said something about silver and gold have I none. So they were empty in their pockets, but they were full of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. And so he said to the lame man, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, I give thee. Whatever I have, I will give you." And they have something, not in their pockets, but in their lives, that didn't come to them because of their own power or because of their own godliness or because of their own abilities. This year, our theme is walking in the Spirit. And I think we must not let the theme go by without realizing the importance of themes for the church every year. We need to ask the Lord for an infilling of the Holy Spirit so that we can walk differently this year. We want to, if I dare say, dear Lord, we want to walk like you. We want to walk like God. I mean, we are not God, but we want to walk like God. Now, Peter knew himself too well. He's not able to walk like God on his own because he's a very ordinary man. On his own, if you know Peter's life, he failed, he failed, he failed again. You remember one day he was talking to Jesus and all the disciples were talking to Jesus, and then he said something, and then Jesus says, "Get behind me, Satan." Can you imagine Jesus, the master, pointing to Peter and say, "There is something in you that is so far from being godly. Get behind me." That's Peter. Peter was quick to pledge, "Oh, Lord Jesus, oh, if everybody left you, I'm not going to leave you. I will be with you." And Jesus says, "When the rooster crowed the third time, Peter, you will deny me." And of course, true enough, he did deny him. This is the Peter. Peter, when everything else was not going right, after Jesus was crucified, he thought, "Oh, following Jesus is not going to do me any good anymore." What did he do? He gave up ministering and he went fishing. He wants to go and catch fish forever because he felt condemnation in his inner soul. That's Peter. And then when Peter first encountered the power of Jesus, remember when Jesus called Peter, Jesus said, "You know, I want you to catch the fish at the deep end." And he caught so much fish. Whoa! And it almost broke his neck and nets. Almost broke his neck too while catching. And what did Peter say? Peter says, "Go away from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man." You talk about Peter, he's an ordinary man, very ordinary. And Peter's body couldn't contain the miraculous power from on high. It's just like now, like, you know, when we got to carry the Word of God, I'm sure Pastor Aaron thinks the same as well. When you got to carry the Word of God, prepare and then carry the Word of God to you. It's incredible that we can hold this Word in our body. It's incredible that you can read your Bible this morning and carry the very words of the Holy God in your body right now. It's incredible. It's miraculous. And Peter struggled to comprehend this relationship, that Jesus would do such a thing for him. I wonder if we have ever felt this way, like the Holy God taking residence in my mortal body. It's incredible. So Peter knew that if he ever did anything significant, it is really because God has done it all on the cross. Nothing to do with his power, nothing to do with godliness, his abilities, because he's got nothing to show for it. Yet, I love the word yet. Yet, amazingly, the glorified Jesus allow Peter and allow all of us to reflect his glory, because the author of life, as we were told in Acts 3, the author of life lives in us. Yet, by the grace of God, and this applies to you, there's a brightness, there's a splendor, there's a beauty about the person who deeply loves God. And it is often, sometimes, not apparent to you, but it's evident to other people. You display the beauty, the splendor, the brightness of God to other people. You might not know it, and it's good that you don't know it, because if you do, he can be quite proud. But you don't know it, but there is a light of Christ in you that God allows it to be manifested to other people around. So the laymen saw Peter and John, and they were fixated on Peter and John because the light was so attractive in them that the man gave them his attention. So if you look at Acts 3, verse 5, you get it there. So the man gave them his attention, expecting to get something from them. He was looking at them with a longing, with a plea, with a focus. That's what people will do around you. Do not despise yourself. Do not look down on your own light. Do not diminish your light that is given to you by Christ. People are looking at you. They won't tell you, but they are looking at you. And it's a good thing. Of course, you want to be the light, not darkness, huh? And people look at us. And Peter said, "Silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk." And taking him by the right hand, he helped him up. And instantly, the man's feet and ankles became strong. He jumped to his feet and began to walk. Then he went into the temple's courts, walking and jumping and praising God. What a story in Acts 3. I'm so blessed to be able to meditate on this story for so long, for so many weeks. The name of Jesus, that's why the title of this chapter in most Bibles is Faith in Jesus' Name. And my title goes the same as well, Faith in Jesus' Name. The name of Jesus has power because Jesus has the highest position. And if you cross-reference to other verses in the Bible, the author of life who was killed and was raised from the dead is now the glorified Christ. He is seated on the right hand of God. God placed all things under his feet, Ephesians 1, 20 to 22. And God exalted Jesus to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow. Philippians 2, verses 9 to 11. We are so blessed to be here this morning, to be able to call on the name of Jesus, because Jesus' name, at Jesus' name, every knee should bow. And the hymn says it so well. It says, "On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand." I don't trust any other rocks, but except the rock who is Christ. All other ground is sinking sand. I dare not trust the sweetest frame. I do not trust anything that says is very steady. I do not trust things that are very steady. It is very steady. But I won't trust all the frames, because frames are weak. But here it says, "Holy lean on Jesus' name." The name of Jesus is steadfast, like an anchor. That's a good one. It's steadfast. It's like an anchor. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, any of these gadgets or any names, any human names. We cannot trust all the human names. But when we trust in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, then we are on solid ground. I pray that today the name of the Lord Jesus Christ is who you call upon, because that's when you can stand on solid rock. Whatever you are facing, there are things in your life that may threaten to pull you into a hole or pull you down. proclaim the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, because on Christ is the solid rock and on Christ is not sinking sand. WordPress, if you look at Google, and you know we are Google users, if you go and look at WordPress, WordPress actually listed 1,000 names and titles of Jesus Christ. That's amazing, huh? I only got a few names. My Christian name is Kara. My Chinese name is Sok Hua. I've got a few nicknames I won't tell you, because if I tell you, then you will call me by my nicknames rather than my real name. But Jesus has got 1,000 names and titles. In fact, in Acts 3 alone, he is known as the Christ, the Anointed One. He is known as the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. In other words, he's a God of generations. I want my great-grandchildren, grandchildren, children, all to be able to know this Christ. He's the God of generations, and your children as well, and your grandchildren and great-grandchildren. He's the Holy One, the Righteous One, the Author of Life, the Messiah. And that's only in Acts 3. More than that, WordPress lists these ones as Jesus is the advocate. He will advocate for you. He will fight for you. He's the Almighty. He's the Alpha and Omega. He's the Amen. He's the arm of the Lord. He's the atoning sacrifice. He's the author and finisher of our faith. He's the author of eternal salvation, the abiding Son, the abundant grace, and the abolisher of the enemy. Just now, Jack led us in that song, and I love it. He says, my soul escaped from the hands of the fowler. Some people try and come and capture you. That's the enemy. They try and get you down. That's the enemy, huh? But the Lord is the abolisher of the enemy. And the Lord will prevent you when you are about to be snapped by the enemy, about to be snapped by the fowler. The Lord pull you out. Whoa, you escape. Have you ever had this kind of escape experiences? It's amazing. When you go in the lift, and then you kind of like, whoa, and then you got out. Whoa, the Lord delivered me. And I'm a very simple person. You know, my escape is lives and some of these daily occurrences. Oh, but God protected you. He's the abolisher of the enemy. He's the anointed king. He's the anointer of my head. He's the ark of strength. And this one, I think you will really be surprised. In fact, I was very surprised myself because I read this scripture from a wrong angle for many months, but God still allowed me to use that wrong angle to minister to me. But when I got it that Jesus is this, I said, what? Whoa! In Song of Songs 2:3, Jesus was metaphorically the apple tree. Now, don't go looking for apple trees and say, this is Jesus. No, I say metaphorically. Because it says in Song of Songs, my beloved is to me the most fragrant apple tree. He stands above the sons of men. Sitting under his gray shadow, I blossom in his shade, enjoying the sweet taste of his pleasant, delicious fruit, resting with delight where his glory never fades. WordPress lists this as one of Jesus' name and title, that he is an apple tree. If you think this is too far-fetched and you cannot accept this, what about Psalm 91:1 that says, he who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. Shadow, shadow of the apple tree. The Lord Jesus is the shadow of the apple tree that will shade us. Because in Psalm 121, 5 to 8, it says, the Lord is your protector, there at your right hand to shade you from the sun. You won't be harmed by the sun during the day. The Lord will protect you and keep you safe from all dangers. The Lord will protect you now and always, wherever you go. Whatever situation you are facing, the name of the Lord Jesus is your shelter and your shade. You need to come under it. You can choose. You can say, okay, this is shade. I'm not going to go under it. Just like I parked under the shade of a tree. It was quite good an experience. I just chip in and have a quick prayer. I wanted to have a quick prayer and it was under the shade. It was good, but I have a choice. I can always go elsewhere. You need to come under the shade, the name of Jesus. When you are stressed, like when a plant is stressed, the gardener is very clever. The gardener will put this plant under the shade so that it doesn't have to be activated in the cells and doesn't have to grow and have to do a lot of things. When you are stressed, the gardener of your soul wants you to come under his shade and find rest. Don't do anything frantic and frenzied. Don't let your mind raise a thousand thoughts and let your mind and your thoughts go haywire. Just let the rest of the Spirit get into your bones, because in Matthew 11, 28, it says, "Come to me," Jesus says, "all you who are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." You want to have fruits of delight, your fruits of love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control, all fruits of the Spirit, well, you need to sit under the shade, because if your roots are not anchored well in the Lord and you are not in the shade of the Lord, then all these fruits cannot grow and cannot blossom. There is power in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the beloved Son, the bread of life, the bridegroom, the bright and morning star, the beginning and the end, the balm of Gilead, the banner of love. He is the captain of salvation, the chief shepherd, the cornerstone, the capstone, the counselor, the creator, the chosen one. The name of Jesus tells us about his character. So if he says he's the captain, then he's in charge. If he says he's a bright and morning star, then don't be in darkness the whole time. The Lord wants to give you his brightness. If he says he's the beginning and the end, your life is in control, because he holds your beginning and he holds your end. The more you know about God's name and God's character, the more the name of Jesus becomes your divine resource. The lame man heard the name of Jesus and he went limp, fully relaxed for Peter to take him by the hand. And at the name of Jesus, the lame man's feet and ankles became strong. It's a funny feeling I think he must have felt. You know, the whole time he has been limp and lame. But this time it's like he felt limp and lame because of the name of Jesus. He heard something quite powerful about the name of Jesus. But then his ankles got strengthened. It's a funny feeling. But wow, his ankles became strong enough to stand up when Peter held him up. Because in Acts 3:8, Bible says he jumped to his feet and began to walk. For a long time, he has not walked. He doesn't even know what walking is. While he watched people pass him by, he knows in his head what walking is, but he can't walk. But he jumped to his feet and began to walk. A new sensation. A new sensation. All the years of missing out, all the FOMO, the fear of missing out, all the years of missing out, and having either no or limited opportunities, those days are over. Because he was always known as the man. Who is that man? The man who is always at the gate, beautiful, at the temple of Jerusalem. He was the one who used to sit there begging. But not anymore. Not anymore, because this lame man has changed address. Wow. There are some things we dare not do. May the Holy Spirit empower you to do those things that God wants you to do. Change address. Huh? Change the source of your empowerment. If we have always been limited because of the belief systems that we carry, because of our past or because of one individual person in our life, it's about time we change address. It's about time we know who our source is. This lame man, even went into the temple courts. The Bible tells us in Acts, this lame man even went into the temple courts, never before, but he went into the temple courts with Peter and John because he couldn't contain his joy. He went in walking and jumping and praising God. He couldn't be silent. Nobody could keep him quiet. I guess what? You guess what? Who guess what? I don't know what I'm talking now. You can't stay quiet after such a tremendous shift in your life. You can't, because the miracle of God has just taken place. Once I was lame, but now I walk. Once I was lost, but now I am found. Many worshippers in that temple that day were also lost, because when they realized that the lame man was in the temple court, they ran to see what was happening. They were surprised by what was taking place at that time. They knew that this man was immobile for a long time. This man, maybe they also themselves give alms and help to this man before. He was one of them always at the gate. He was not one of them. He was at the gate. Beautiful. The worshippers were surprised that this is the same man that was walking and praising God in the temple. The worshippers were lost because they were not they were not having the experience of being able to be so excited for God. This experience of the lame man walking sent them running. I think as a Christian, if we are all very slow paced and no energy, and how's God? God's good. And we are all like no strength, we are in need of an experience that will send our feet running. I'm speaking to myself. Are your feet and your hands heavy, and are you in a state of inertia? Is your spirit drooping and in need of times of refreshing? Are your sins and the cares of the world weighing on your shoulders? Do you need an encounter with God that would send your feet running? I pray that God will use whatever that is in His Word to get your feet running for Him, because it's really exciting. You will not be able to contain your joy, just like this lame man who has not walked for so long, not experienced the power for so long, walking for the first time. I pray that your Christian life will have lots and lots of those hot potato experience. You can't sit still, you can't stand still, because the Spirit of God is in you, asking you to do things for Him. Peter, full of the Holy Spirit, began to speak words that cut into the hearts of the men. And in Acts 4, the next pastor will share with you how that speech actually converted 5,000 people. And the crux of Peter's message would be this: you intended for harm, talking to the Jews. The Jews, you intended this whole thing, the crucifixion, for harm. But God intended it for good, to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many lives. Jesus is exalted as a Savior, and this lame man was one life saved by Jesus. Faith in the name of Jesus glorifies Jesus as the Anointed One, the Author of Life, and the Messiah. And the crux of Peter's message is this: now is the time to repent. Repent so that your sins are wiped away. Repent so that times of refreshing may come from the Lord to you. Repent is 180 degrees turnaround to God's blessings for you, because God wants to make us, in Acts 3, heirs of the covenant. We inherit the promises of the covenant. And then Acts 3 tells you that you, your offspring, through your offspring, all people on earth will be blessed. Perth will be blessed by us, and Perth will be blessed by our children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren, because of our faith in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Faith in Jesus' name unlocks the treasury of God's power. That's why the onus is on us to go and learn and experience the name of Jesus Christ, because it unlocks the treasury of God's power. Whatever your needs are this morning, I pray that you will, when you call upon the name of Jesus and have faith in Jesus' name, that He will empower you to do what He tells you to do. And for those who minister in Jesus' name, and all of us, we minister in Jesus' name, don't put unnecessary pressure on yourself to perform. Don't say, oh, if I use the name of Jesus, I must be somebody of great credentials before I can actually use the name of Jesus. No, no, don't put pressure on yourself to perform, because we are not the healers, just like Peter and John says, we are not the healers, though through our prayer, we witness healing. We are not the reconcilers. Peter and John says, oh, please, please. And in other chapters, they also don't want the people to bow down and worship them, because he says, we are not the reconcilers, even though we do the reconciling work amongst us. We are also not the givers of life. Even though we may be the lively, energetic one, we are not the givers of life. Though we impart life, our task is to reveal the love that has been given to us by God. Just reveal the love that is given to you by God. You may never be the center of attention. Sorry about that. You may be doing a lot of good things, but then, hey, how come nobody notices me? How come nobody know what I'm doing? How come nobody is keeping a record? How come nobody is giving me a promotion? You may never be the center of attention. But I tell you what, you will always be in the heart of the action. Church, we need to ask the Lord to help us, especially this year, to walk in the Spirit, to be in the heart of the action. Because God loves for you and me to be involved in His work on earth. Because when we are able to work and be able to apply His word, it's like heaven coming down on earth. Don't wait for heaven. Bring heaven down in your life. Be active for God and have faith in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Let us pray. Hallelujah. You know the name of Jesus. If you have been a believer, you speak to Him and talk to Him about your response to the name of Jesus. What does Jesus' name mean to you? How has Jesus' name been real to you? You have heard a lot about the name of Jesus, but what is it to your life really? Today, if you are here, you have heard much about the name of Jesus, but you're never really call upon the name of Jesus to say, oh, Jesus, come into my life. Be my Savior. Be my Lord. If this is your heart's cry, you have never received Jesus into your life and you want to receive the Lord this morning, can I see your hands? I'd like to pray for you. Thank you, Lord. Yeah, music you can play. I think it's lovely to have music because the anointed ones are equipped by the Spirit to be able to play music. Hallelujah. You're here. Never really call upon Jesus. Never really knew who Jesus is to you personally. If you are here and you want to receive the Lord, would you raise your hand? I'd like to pray for you. Hallelujah. Maybe today you are here because of a circumstance in your life. It's really making you feel down, like your spirit is drooping. And you want to really ask for prayers this morning. If that is you, and you have heard this message on the name of Jesus, the name of Jesus is the ark of strength, is the arm of the Lord. He's the anointed one. He's the Messiah, the author of life. And that's what you really want into your situation. Maybe that's you. Would you raise your hand too? I'd like to pray for you. You're going through a tunnel, whether it's a short tunnel or a long tunnel. Maybe a challenge, a hard challenge, something that is really tough to go through on yourself. You're a believer of God, but it's just tough doing it alone. And you want to call on the name of Jesus as a body, as a church, and that is you. Would you raise your hand? It's no shame. Just raise your hand. We're going to ask the Lord to help. Hallelujah, Lord. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Or maybe you have used the name of the Lord Jesus Christ to minister to a lot of people. Or maybe you dare not use the name of Jesus to minister to people because there's pressure for you to produce a certain outcome. If that is you, and that's holding you back from using the name of Jesus in certain situations, maybe you need courage. Ask the Lord for courage. If that is you, you want to be able to call on the name of Jesus freely and receive His power liberally. If that is you, would you raise your hand to the Lord? Yes, see that hand. So see that hand. I see that hand. Hallelujah. Wait for a bit more. We all need the power of the Lord, yeah? But if you do need the power of the Lord this morning, to just be able to break free, break some ceilings in your life. Maybe you raise your hand in faith and we see what the Lord wants to pray for you. Hallelujah. Father, we just pray for those couple of hands that were raised. Lord, you have got an assignment for them. But Lord, it is so, sometimes so difficult to just step out in faith. I pray that strength will come onto their legs, O Lord. The feeble legs, O Lord, will be strengthened. The feeble heart, O Lord, will be strengthened, made strong. Because the power of the Lord is in this house today. And I pray for an encounter with you, dear God, that such power will fill their lives. That whatever the task is right now, dear Lord, let the task shrink in size. But let the power of God increase in size because of the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. In the name of the Lord Jesus, everyone must kneel, including our problems. So Lord, we speak to our problems that they will have to shrink and they will have to lose their power because the name of the Lord Jesus Christ is a strong fortress, is a strengthener of feeble arms and legs. Lord, we thank you so much for your love. I pray for your people, dear Lord, that more and more we will step into such a reservoir of the experience with the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let your blessings be upon your people right now, dear God. Thank you, dear Lord, and let their chins be always lifted high because the God that believes in them and loves them is in them. I give you thanks, dear Lord, in Jesus' name. And God's people say, Amen. Amen.